Now, in the summer period, in the Sundays that I'm with you, I want to just do a little series on Sunday nights, commencing tonight, and I've entitled it Preaching the Gospel from the Psalms. Preaching the Gospel from the Psalms. We often turn to the Psalms, and we, God's people, we find a great deal of help and comfort and encouragement in the book of Psalms, particularly in our devotional readings. Sometimes I think that David, you know, particularly the Psalms of David, that David, you know, he expresses the things of life and the experiences of life. And he just seems to hit that spot that and speak about that situation that maybe you're in at that particular time. He knows what it means to feel down and discouraged and all the rest of it. And some of the Psalms are Psalms of praise and worship. And so it's profitable to read the Psalms. But of course we can turn to the Psalms not only for encouragement and in our devotional life, but we find the gospel in the Psalms. And that's what I want to do in the Sundays that I'm with you over July and August. And we want to read tonight in Psalm number 1. And this is a well-known psalm. I'm sure that many of you could quote it without opening your Bible. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the way in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We know that God will bless the reading of his holy truth. The first two Psalms that we find in the book of Psalms, it's sometimes called the Hebrew hymn book, but the first two Psalms that we find in this book of Psalms has no name of the writer given. Now, they're not the only two Psalms that you find like that, but these two, the name of the writer is not given. Although in the New Testament, we find that when the second Psalm is referred, it's referred to as being written by David. And so it could well have been that it was the psalmist David who penned these first two Psalms. Doesn't really matter, but that's just beside the point. We find when we come to Psalm 1 that Psalm 1 divides easily into two. In the first part of the psalm, the first three verses, there we have the godly man. In the second part of the psalm, three verses again, we have the ungodly man. In the first part of the psalm, we have a picture of the saint. The second part of the psalm, we have a picture of the sinner. And as we consider the godly man and the ungodly man, we need to consider which of these men we want to be, or which of these men describes us this evening. Are you the godly man or woman, or are you the ungodly man or woman that we read about in this psalm? I want to look first of all at the godly man. It says, blessed is the man, or that can be translated, happy is the man. The word blessed can be translated happy. Or another translator puts it, oh, the blessedness of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We see here his separation in verse 1. The godly man is a separated man. He separates himself from the advice of the ungodly, from the counsel of the ungodly. He separates himself from the ways of the ungodly, the ways in which the ungodly live, the way in which they enjoy themselves and so on, and from the company of the ungodly. He sitteth not in the seat of those that are scornful. I can remember looking back in times of life when, before I came into the Lord's work, I worked, you know, with worldly people like all the rest of us has to do. And I remember times when people were scornful and critical and would have said things about the Savior that was far from holy. And the godly man does not keep the company of those who are scornful. He separates himself from it. We see his separation. When we look at the godly man in verse 2, we see his satisfaction. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. He loves the Lord's word. And in his law, or in his word, doth he meditate day and night. And if you delight yourself in the word of the Lord and meditate upon it day by night, then it comes as no surprise that you'll seek to live by his word. And the godly man will seek to live by the word. He'll seek to obey the word of God as far as possible he can. We see his separation. We see his satisfaction. We see his situation in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, friends, the word of God are the waters that flow into his soul day by day. He's situated, he's living close to the waters of the word. And because the word of God is flowing into his soul and he's being saturated every day by the word of God, my, there's a fruitfulness from his life. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. My, there's a fruitfulness from his life. He bringeth forth fruit in his season. He's ever green for God. He shall not fade. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So here we have the godly man. We can look at the godly man from another angle. We find that the godly man is a happy man, or a happy person. It says here, happy is the man. You know, you only have to read the Psalms to see how happy the godly man is. Because many of the Psalms in the book of Psalms are Psalms of praise. Fine, you can divide the Psalms up like this. There are psalms which are psalms about prayer. There are psalms which are psalms of preaching when the prophet preaches. There are psalms which are psalms of prophecy. For example, Psalm 22 is a psalm of prophecy when the psalmist speaks of Christ at the cross and makes so many references which were fulfilled when Jesus died at Calvary. And of course there's psalms which are psalms of praise. So you can divide the psalms up like that. Man, these are psalms. And my, when you see how many of the psalms are psalms of praise and thanksgiving. And you see, friends, salvation brings happiness into people's lives. That's something the world cannot understand, you know. The world seems to think, I remember when I was in the world, I thought, you know, if I got saved, my, it would be such a dull life. It would be such a boring life. My, there would be so many things I couldn't enjoy. Nothing could be further from the truth. Salvation brings happiness and joy into people's lives. My dear friends, we live in a world where people are looking happiness. They want to find happiness. They want to find joy and find enjoyment in life. And the secret of happiness is Jesus Christ. That's the secret of happiness. That's where you can find happiness. You can find happiness in Christ. You can find joy in Him. In Psalm 32 and verse 1 we read, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered." My, when you know that your sins are forgiven, my, and your sin is covered, my, and you have a Savior, and that you're on your way to heaven, my, it brings happiness, doesn't it? So the man, the godly man, is a happy man. And we find from these verses that the godly man is a holy man. He lives by the word of God. He delights in the word of God. And if he delights in the word of God, then he obeys the word of God. So the godly man is a happy man, and he's a holy man. And of course, he's a heaven-bound man. My, the man in the first part of the psalm is the man who's on his way to heaven. Now, what a contrast we find with the man in the second part of the psalm. What a contrast we have there. Because we find when we read about the ungodly man or the godless man, that this is a person who leaves God out of his life. A person who leaves God out of his life. You know, people usually find into one of the other characters. You can the definition of people are usually as follows. A person's either married or unmarried. They're either happy or unhappy. Thankful or unthankful. Godly or godless. Some people may not like to be categorized like the person that we find in the second part of the psalm. They may not like to be referred to as godless. They might think that the ungodly are people who never go to church, people who have no time for God, people who don't read the Bible. They may think that the ungodly or the godless person or someone who commits terrible crimes, they indulge in the things of the world. They indulge in alcoholism and so on. They commit terrible sins and so on. That's what some people think describes the ungodly or the godless. The fact of the matter is this, friends. You can go to church and be without God. You can go to church, you can be religious, you can do good for the community and be without God. You see, if you're not saved, then you're one of the ungodly. You're a person without God and without hope and without Christ. We see here the godless man. Listen to what he says about him. He says, the ungodly are not so. He has been outlining here the godly man in the first three verses. Happy man, holy man, heaven bound word. He says this. He says, the ungodly are not so. They're not like the man in the first three verses that we've been reading about. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And that's the description of the godless. The description of the godless. May we see the contrast between the godly person and the ungodly person. The ungodly are not so. They're not like the godly man or the godly woman. They're not happy as the godly man is. They're not holy. They don't seek to live their lives by the word of God. They're not heaven bound at all. If they don't know the Lord, then they're not heaven bound. If you don't know the Lord tonight, you're on your way to hell. You're not going to heaven. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, the chaff was the refuge that is winnowed from the grain when it's brought in at harvest. It's without substance, and it's easily carried away. It says here, they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The wind is a force which we cannot see and cannot control. And the unsaved man and the unsaved woman, the unsaved person tonight, my, they're at the mercy of forces that they cannot see and cannot control. If a ship breaks down in mid-ocean, it loses its steering gear. It goes out of order. It's caught in the grip of the gale. And it's driven by the wind and the tide toward the jagged rocks that guard the coast. And it's gripped by the forces beyond its control, and it's being driven straight to disaster. That's like the godless person tonight. My, Paul talks about the God of this world. Paul writes and he reminds the Ephesians that ye, you know, you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you know, you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and their satanic forces, my, yielded by the prince of the air, they're driving people further and further away from the Lord. The unsaved or the unseen power of Satan that man cannot control is driving the unsaved person to the jagged rocks of destruction. Remember the man in the tombs? Why, no one could do anything with him. He was out of control. His life was out of control. It says no man could tame him. He was in the hand of Satan. He was possessed with a legion of demons who had absolute control of his life. And he was crying and cutting himself with stones and running about in the rocks and in the mountains. Dear friends, remember the young man possessed with a dumb spirit? You read about him in Mark chapter 9, 17 to 29. And my, he was brought to Jesus. And his father says, you know, Lord, I brought him to your disciples and they cannot cast this spirit out of him. And oftentimes it takes him and he foams at the mouth. And it casts him into the river and into the fire. People are being carried along today on the winds of worldly pleasure. On the winds of prosperity at any price. On the winds of possessions, driven further and further away from God. And people are being brought to the place where they're heading for the rocks of destruction. He says, you know, the ungodly are not so. They're not like the man, the godly man. They're not a happy man. They're not holy men or women. They're not heaven-bound people at all. He says, you know, they're like the chaff that the wind driveth away. And then he says this, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You see, that's the destination of the godless. We see in verse 4 the description of the godless. Here we see the destination of the godless. He says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know, friends, God has appointed a day of judgment for this world. That's what the Bible says anyway. That's what Paul preached in Acts chapter 17. That God hath appointed a day wherein he will judge the world of righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And we're given the details of it away at the back of your Bible in Revelation chapter 20. Just turn to it for a moment if you have a Bible, and let me read this passage, because, you know, God blesses the reading of his word, and God speaks through his word. And the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, so there should be no trouble in reading God's word. This is what God's word says about the judgment warning, in chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 11. And he says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books of life, books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now that's the word of God. That's the word of God. And you see, friends, it says here that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The sinner, the man or woman without God and without Christ, has no standing in the judgment. He'll be summoned to the great white throne of God, and the books will be opened and the records will be made bare. And he'll find that the heaven and the earth hath fled away, and there was found no place for them, and everything he has sought to build upon is gone. It's gone. You know, Cain brought his good works to God. He brought the fruit of the ground. It represented the sweat of his own brow. It represented the works that he had put in, the effort that he had made. And he was depending on that offering to satisfy God. But his good works were swept away. He was left with nothing. Yes, and there's many people tonight depending on their good works. And they tell us how good they are. They're depending on their good works to save them. Their good works will not stand in the judgment. Dear friend, if you're depending on good works tonight and living a good and upright moral life, that's fine in itself. But when it comes to eternity and eternal issues and being accepted to God, your good works will not stand on the judgment. They'll be swept away. Swept away. The religious man or woman is depending on their religion. They can show you their baptismal certificate, their confirmation certificate. They can talk about all the effort and work and money that they've put into the church, about all that they do, whether it's in a musical aspect or whether it's in a practical aspect. And people can talk about so much they do in religious circle. Let me tell you this, your religion will not stand in the judgment. Not stand on the judgment. Read in Matthew chapter 7 the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. And you remember how that the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the wind came and the rain fell and the storm blew. And my, his house fell because it was built upon the sand. It had no foundation beneath it. My, it couldn't stand. Many today are building on the sands of their good works and on the sands of their religion. But all these things will be swept away in the judgment. Trust that you accept that there is a judgment. Because we're living in a day and age when many people don't even like the word and wouldn't even accept many of the things that I'm speaking about here this evening. There's many who believe in universalism, even so-called evangelicals. They believe in universalism. You know, that God's going to bring us all in at the end and that everybody will be accepted. That's not in God's word, friends. That's not in the teaching of the word. There's a difference here. There's two men in the psalm and there's two ways. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And there's two destinations. There's a heaven and there's a hell. We see here, the destination of the godless. The chaff was always gathered up and burned in the fire. You know, when John the Baptist spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this, but he will burn off up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The ungodly man, the second man in the psalm, is like the chaff. The destination of the ungodly is the lake of fire. The ungodly are heading for the flames. And I'm sorry that I can make no apology for that language tonight. That's the truth of God's word. So we see here the description of the godless and the destination of the godless. And that brings us, dear friends, to the damnation of the godless, because it says this in verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. That's what the word of God says. The way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly is opposite from the way of the godly. The godly man is a happy man. He's a holy man who seeks to live by the word of God and let it order his life. He's a heaven-bound man. The ungodly man, he's the other opposite. And the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there's two men here in the psalm. There's the godly and the godless. There are two ways in the psalm. There's the way of the godly and the way of the ungodly. There's the way of the godly is the narrow way, and the way of the godless is the broad way. And you remember Jesus told that parable about the broad way and the narrow way. And he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way that leadeth to life. You see, friends, the ungodly or the godless man, he's on the broad way. And the broad way is a popular way. Everybody's on it. Everybody from all walks of life. You can go to the pub and spend your wages in the bookies. Do a whole lot of things. They're on the broad way. And you can live a good life and bring up your family and be good to your children and love your wife and all the rest. But if those people are not saved, they're in the broad way too. You can go to church and be on the broad way, or you cannot go to church and be on the broad way. There's all kinds of people on the broad way. All kinds of them. It's a popular way. It's an easy way. It's easy, you know, to get through life when you're on the broad way. Because when you're in work, you can laugh at all the jokes, which are filthy. And bad language doesn't worry you in the least. It's an easy way. And it's a crowded way. It's a crowded way. But will I tell you this? It leadeth to destruction. That's where it leads to. It's all right now. But it leadeth to destruction. And that's the clear statement of the word of God. Like the chaff You'll be cast out of God's presence. But the thing I want you to get tonight is this, that although the ungodly is like the chaff driven by the wind, and although the destination is destruction and perishing, dear friends, the wonderful truth is this tonight, listen to it, that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. Man, that gives you hope. That brings a ray of light into the situation. This ungodly man, who's like the chaff that the wind driveth away. This person who cannot stand in the judgment and will never be in the congregation of the righteous in heaven if he's not saved. This man or woman that's perishing. Christ died for the ungodly. My dear friends, here in this psalm, how does the godless man become the godly man? I've met people in life and seen them. And you know, I've seen people coming to meetings who were without Christ and had no thought of Christ and no time for God. And they heard the gospel and God worked by his Spirit and moved in their life. And Christ came in and lifted them and saved them. And the godly man has become, or the godless man became the godly man. My, through the cross. You see, friends, it brings us to the cross tonight that Christ died for the ungodly. There on Calvary's tree, the blessed Lamb of God hung in agony and sweat with spittles mingled on his frame, with breast heaving with the pain. There the blessed man of sorrows died for the ungodly. He died for me because I was ungodly. And he died for you because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And at the cross we see the suffering one in blood and agony and shame. We see the blessed man of sorrow suffer there. At the cross we see the substituting one. He wasn't there for his own sins or anything that he had committed. He was there in my place and in my stead he died. Took my place. He was there as the saving one. At Calvary Christ died for the ungodly and rose again the third day to be a living Savior. And the wonderful grace of God comes out tonight through the gospel. And it offers to men and women who are like the person in the second part of the psalm. Through Christ's death and burial and resurrection, God comes in grace and mercy. And he offers to men and women and young people and boys and girls the free gift of salvation. And if you come into this meeting tonight and you're numbered amongst the ungodly, you're like the person in the second part of the psalm. Bless God, you can leave this meeting tonight like the person in the first part of the psalm, because he can bring forgiveness and pardon into your life and mine make you his for all eternity. There's a Savior tonight for the ungodly. There's hope for the ungodly. There's a provision made for the man whom's described in the second part of the psalm, dear friends. Will you come tonight? Which of these men do you fit into? Do you fit into the man in the first part of it? The man who's happy, satisfied. The man who's holy, who's heaven-bound. Or do you fit into the man who's like the chaff that the wind driveth away, who'll not stand in the judgment, and who's perishing? Christ died for you, died for sinners, died to save you. My, all you need to do is take your place, repent of your sin, come to the cross, bow down humbly and reverently, believe that Jesus died to be your Savior and accept Him by faith as your own. May God speak to our hearts tonight. May God speak to each one of us. And if you're not saved tonight, may you come to know the Savior. He's willing and ready and able to change you for the good, to make you a happy man or woman, to make you a holy man or woman. Being holy doesn't mean drabness or being bored or some kind of dullness. It means happiness and joy. My, He's able to make you a heaven-bound man or woman. Come to Christ and let Him do